Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining me on The Social Media Chef. My name is Chris Tompkins. I am The Social Media Chef. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is our regularly scheduled time, just so you can set it into your calendars. If you like the show and want to listen to it again, it happens every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to find out more about the show and The Social Media Chef, please visit my blog. It's www.servedfreshmedia.com. On there, you'll find lots of basically what this show is all about, which is a good, solid mixture of pretty much my two passions, which are cooking and social media. So I guess I got my professional and personal all covered there. But, yeah, join us on our blog. There's some videos, there's recipes, there's social media tips, and very soon we'll have even more videos, audio, and ebooks as well for you to download free of charge. Also, this show is sponsored by Go Media International, which is a social media marketing execution firm. So if you need some help with your social media strategy, visit them online at gomediaonline.com. Again, that's gomediaonline.com. And also, if you want to hear my updates and get some recipes and some regular tips and news, follow me on Twitter at chrisgomedia.com. That's C-H-R-I-S. G-O-M-E-D-I-A. Okay, I think I've plugged about everything. If you want to bookmark this site so you can find out more about the radio show and updates whenever the next show is going to be scheduled, you can check out our RSS feed at blogtalkradio.com/socialmediachef. Okay, so for those who are new to the show, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what the show is all about. Like I mentioned before, it is going to be a mixture of my two passions, which are social media marketing and cooking. Okay, am I the best person at either? You know, who's to say? But I really love them, and I devour everything I can on both subjects, and I'm constantly learning new tricks and tips and things that I'd like to share with everybody. Are you going to find out how to get 1,000 Twitter followers in 2 seconds or how to make a mousse in a minute? Probably not, but what I want to share with you are meaningful things that you can really apply to your life to really enrich your social media activity, to help out your businesses, and, hey, make your kitchen smell a little bit better as well. So today's show is all about online cocktail parties versus offline dinner parties. Now, this is an analogy that I've heard a million times, and when I was thinking of ideas and discussing with my team, you know, what should we really talk about, it was always the cocktail party thing that popped up. I think that from the beginning of social media time, when people started talking about social media, which, you know, is it the right name for it? Who knows? But right now that's what we're calling it, so everyone can identify it very easily. People were saying, you know, hey, being online and interacting with people on sites such as Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter is very much like going to a cocktail party, because you're going to a cocktail party and you're networking. And but I think that's good. I think that's an interesting analogy. But as time has moved on, I think that we have to look at it in a little deeper way. So today on The Social Media Chef, I really want to talk about what the similarities are between the two, and then offer you some 5 great social media tips that you can get in so you can get networking and really get the most out of your time online, And then also five party ideas to make your dinner parties run even more smoothly and, you know, hopefully a little bit more fun as well. So what we want to do is on the Social Media Chef today, we want to start off with just talking about how are they alike, okay? First off, we have, I love the first one because it's not suitable for everyone, okay? Cocktail parties, online cocktail parties and offline dinner parties are not a great fit for everybody. Now, when I say that, don't misunderstand me in thinking that it's not a good fit for every business. There are certain personalities where it doesn't work. If you are going into the social media, if you're going into a dinner party and you are angry and you don't want to go and you absolutely hate the food, you know you just know it's going to be a big failure. You don't want to go. It's going to be it's going to ruin your evening. Well, I know a lot of people that think about social media the same way. If that's the way you're thinking, it's not going to work for you because you need to really be open to what it can do, and you have to, you know, have time to really dive into the topic to find out what is the best way to get in, what value does it have to your business, etc. But I understand there's a lot of people out there that just don't have the time, and they're set in their ways. I'm going to have to say right now that it's social media is probably going to be tough for you because if you are not open and you don't want to learn, or you just don't have the time, which I can completely understand. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not going to be a good fit. But I really think that, you know, just like if you have a really bad, if you're not really interested in going to a dinner party and you end up just staying home and sitting home alone and watching TV, and what if you just kind of opened up your mind a little bit and said, okay, you know what, let's give it the benefit of the doubt. This might be fun. How many times have you done that in your life and you've really found out that it was a great time and you just missed out? So I think that's a big similarity. It's so much like your attitude going into it. For those who are joining us right now, we are talking about the similarities between online cocktail parties and offline dinner parties on the Social Media Chef. Visit our blog at www.servefreshmedia.com and follow us on Twitter at ChrisGoMedia. Now, let's talk about the next thing that's similar. People have different tastes. Now, this is going to be amongst the friends or relatives or whoever you like to your dinner party, but also who you're going to interact with online. You know, you have to find your target audience. For example, if you are only good at cooking one thing, it's really, really rewarding to find that one audience that you can always cook for that are going to say, oh, you're the best Italian food that I've ever made, or you make the best German food I've ever had. That's the kind of thing that you love. So you obviously want to find a market because you have a niche. It's the same online. If you're going to go into a social media site, you don't want to just do a really broad shoot because 9 times out of 10, it's the wrong fit. You know, if you're talking about pharmaceuticals and you're interacting with religious people that do not believe in pharmaceuticals, or you're talking about religion to atheists, it's not a really great fit. So just as you would with a dinner party, you have to cater to the taste of your market. Now, I'm not saying pander to the taste of your market. Find your market, see what they want, and deliver it. Now, the next point I think that's really important is finding the right setting for your audience. With a dinner party, you know, you have people over, and okay, you're going to have about 25 people over, say. I mean, if you're really bold, or you have a house that's just made for entertaining. You have 25 people over, you're not going to light lots of candles and put smooth jazz on and put the lights down. You know, it's going to be kind of hard to keep it into an intimate, unless you really, really can do it. But it's tricky. Now, if you're having just a couple people over, and, you know, they're a little bit on the low energy side, it's going to be hard to have a throw down, break the windows party. So you really have to get the right setting for each group. If you have a bunch of your friends are really, really outgoing, maybe do a pool party and do something on the barbecue. if you're going to have, if you have friends that are really, really educated and you can have really deep conversations, have something indoors and have something intimate, and, you know, maybe even show a film that you can discuss. You know, that is the sort of thing where I'm thinking of when, you know, you have your guests, let's get them in the right setting. Now, let's talk about that in the social media world. Okay, well, in social media, you have lots of different places that you can go. Every time you go to one, and by places I mean Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Plaxo, YouTube, I mean, you name it. There's a million of them. There's so many different hubs that you can go to. Well, within each one of these hubs is a way of communicating. On LinkedIn, I'm not going to be saying, yo, what's up, brother, to the CEO of a company that I'm trying to build a relationship with. I'm going to be professional. Well, within the realm of me being professional, because I'm pretty much a straight shooter all the time. But if I was on Facebook, I could possibly get away with that a little bit more because of the environment. Now, I'm not saying that you should ever say, hey, yo, what's up, brother, to a CEO of the company, because, you know, I'd be discrediting myself. But that is just a, you know, an over-the-top example of how that works. For those who are just joining us, we are talking about the similarities of online cocktail parties versus offline dinner parties on The Social Media Chef. You can subscribe to the RSS feed for our show. It's blogtalkradio.com/socialmediachef. Now, the next one is allergies and pet peeves. Okay, me personally, I'm very compassionate, but when I have a menu set up and everybody starts telling me that they have allergies to things, it kind of drives me crazy. But, you know, I'm a perfectionist, so I like to do things just so. And I never learn that I need to ask my audience, who's going to be coming to the dinner party, what if they have any allergies. Now, food allergies is something that anybody who's throwing a dinner party has to encounter. Dislikes, for example, not liking onions or not liking mushrooms. Well, if you have someone that dislikes half the things that are on your menu, then obviously this dinner party is not going to be for them, because maybe changing the menu is just, you know, out of the range of reason. But that's why, well, even on the social media world, you got to find the right people. You know, you got to find the right audience. I'm being a little over the top with these examples today because I just really want to make them clear. You know, there's a lot of people out there. You know, you have a lot of friends and family. And also on the social media world, you have an international audience. That's a lot of people. If you want to throw a dinner party of three people or four, or like two couples and, you know, yourself and your partner, and you have 60 friends, obviously you can pick and choose who's going to be right for that. And then you can ask them if they have allergies, but, you know, you'll probably know by that time. It's the same thing with social media. There's so many people online, you've got to choose the ones that work with you. Now, the ones that you want to engage with, the ones that you want to become friends with, the ones that you want to show interest in, and vice versa, because I'm basically talking about the giving portion, because I'm a firm believer that I like giving more than receiving. But receiving is very key when you're a business owner like I am, and like I'm sure many of you are. So give in overabundance. Give more than you can possibly give. And you know what? It will come back to you. So that's just a point. I mean, I'll get off my soapbox, okay? Let's move on to getting the right audience. Again, this is very similar to the point that I just had with allergies. You have to find the right mix of people. For example, if you begin a group of people, like, for example, so let's say LinkedIn. Say on LinkedIn, you've created a group. And in that group, the group is going to be based around, I don't know, the pet industry. So you've had, you know, you check out every single person, which I really strongly recommend. If you're doing a LinkedIn group, the first thing you want to do is put it to, they have to request to join. And then you have to okay them, rather than just having an open join. If you have someone that's just open, if you're just letting anybody join it, of course you'll get more numbers, but you'll get more spam. And you may also get someone in there that doesn't fit with the group, which is my point here. When you're putting together a dinner party or a social media group, make sure that everybody compliments each other. There can be people have arguments. You know, we all do. I can have my best friend in the world and we can fall out. But you know what? We're going to make up again. If I have somebody that's coming absolutely out of the blue and sideswiping my entire group of friends at a dinner party, that's not so great. So what I want to suggest is, you know, just really be mindful about how and who you choose. You really want to look at the whole because you want to have a great evening. You want to have a successful party. You want everybody to enjoy the food, everybody to enjoy the jokes and stories and the environment and the preparation that you put into it. Not that you're going to be the king of the castle or anything. It's more about your guests. And that's exactly what it's like for a group. If you're not going to put the effort into making sure that the right people are in this group and monitoring their activity, then don't start a group. I mean, because it can really, really come back and bite you on the rear end, which is not necessarily what you want, because you spend a lot of time fostering and creating these relationships. For those of us who are joining us now, we are halfway through our show today at the Social Media Chef. Again, if you want to find out the latest news on social media and recipes, join us online at www.servefreshmedia.com and follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn. We're everywhere. So the next one I wanted to get into is no one likes a bragger. And this is really good. This is kind of controversial when it comes to dinner parties because a lot of people think that I'm talking about the actual guest. I'm talking about you. You're throwing the dinner party. Or you're throwing the online party, meaning that you're trying to engage other people to either join your group, become part of your community or your tribe, which a lot of people say, including myself, because I love that word. And you know, you have that going for you. So don't brag. Just don't brag. You can mention what you're doing, but let them do the talking. Well, you listen. You listen for a while. You know, go ahead, give them some great information, share as much as you want, but don't just tell them that you're doing something amazing every single day. Ask them what they're doing that's amazing. And I'll talk more about this point, I think, more when we get into the 5 tips for each. But I just wanted to throw that out there. This moves on from that question. The most successful way to throw any sort of party is to be interested and ask questions. Okay? That means if you want to do a status update, don't always make it about me, 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 me. Ask people what they're doing. Mix it up a little bit. You know, these people are engaging with you online. Or, for example, like, I'm a terrible example, you know, because what I do is I'll throw a dinner party, and I will be in the kitchen the whole time making the food because I don't like doing everything way before. I like super fresh food for my guests. Well, what's great about that is the food comes out, it's piping hot, nice and fresh, not reheated, and I only get to spend an hour with my guests. And so that's something I personally have to work on. But I know a lot of people, generally it's great to tag team. If you have your partner, your wife, your husband, whatever, if you have a tag team there, one could be in the kitchen, the other one could be doing the meet and greet and helping people, you know, introduce, start conversations, and really engage. Don't invite people over to your house and just stare at them. That never works. And guess what? It doesn't work online either. If you connect with a whole bunch of people and you give them a really nice, warm message and then they start sending you messages and you stop replying because you're too lazy or you don't know who they are or they don't make any sense to you anymore or you're really busy or you just wanted them to join your group, you don't want to engage with them. You can't really do that if you want to keep people and keep the word of mouth about you really strong online. What I would tell you to consider is think about, there's two arguments for it really when we're talking about social media marketing here. A lot of people love numbers. A lot of people, in terms of, I have 500 quality connections on Twitter. And I have, versus, I have 50,000 connections on Twitter. There's two schools of thinking. Some people think that it's the size of the database that builds the company, and there's the other set which thinks that it's not the numbers that are important, it's the quality of the communications. I think it's both. I think there's a middle ground where you can have a little bit of both. What I definitely don't suggest, and I think I'm going to be talking, we'll be talking about this in a couple weeks, about automation and how automation is not really the way to go. I really don't like that so much. There's a time and place for it, but not super hot on it. And so we'll talk about that more then. Just really engage. Engage with your audience. Engage with your guests at your dinner party. Be gracious. Act interested. Ask questions. If you have nothing to say, which, you know, is absolutely fine either way, get them talking. You don't want a room with a bunch of people staring at each other and no interaction. That's like a, you know, that's nothing. Okay, everybody, again, I'm Chris Tompkins. I'm Social Media Chef. And we are talking today about the good old fabulous connection between online cocktail parties and offline dinner parties, of which I absolutely love. I love throwing dinner parties, and I love throwing online cocktail parties. Without the cocktails, of course, we want to keep it business-oriented. But, again, if you want to follow us on our blog at servefreshmedia.com. Lots of recipes there and news. And also, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. You know, look around. You'll find Chris Tompkins somewhere. Now, what I want to move on to is I want to move on to five social media tips, okay? These are just some random stuff that I think that are aligned with what we're talking about today here. And the first one is research before you dive. Okay, this is something I actually did a speech in Orlando, because I'm based out of Clearwater, Florida down here, Clearwater Beach. And, you know, I gave a speech and we were talking about marketing and research and, you know, the things that I really, really love, because I'm a bit of a nerd on that side of things. I really love planning and researching and getting the facts together before I go forward. And I was giving a speech, and there were so many people that didn't have the plan together and didn't have the research together, and but were really interested in going into the social media. This is my tip to them and to you. Research the sites before you engage. Now, that doesn't mean that don't join. Join up. Do like a bare-bones profile. Don't go all crazy. And look around. Like Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, you can do that. Twitter has great things that can help you monitor people and check out things and see what people are saying. TweetDeck's my favorite. There's a lot of other ones out there, but TweetDeck's one that I strongly endorse. It's free. But, you know, you can go into Facebook. You can do searches. You can ask questions. You can look at answers. You can look into the groups. You can see how people are interacting. I think that's a good idea to do before you get all crazy and get involved. Another tip is really don't shout. Engage with people. Like, if I get one more email on LinkedIn that's screaming at me to look at this site or to do this or to come to the seminar or to do whatever, I'm going to scream. Don't do that. There's ways of getting in touch with people that are relevant. I'm not, for example, I got a message the other day about coming to a mommy and daughter I don't know what it was. I was so wrong for the market. There was nothing right at all. It was completely wrong. So that turned me off. Why did I get that message? I'm not even a mom, you know? So, you know, engage with people and engage with the right ones. Another one is practice a pull approach rather than a push, which is kind of the same along the lines of the point before with don't shout, engage. You don't want to just push information through the channels. You really want to do something a little bit different, which is actually giving people information, helping them out. And information, I'm not talking about an ad for your company. Please don't do that. That drives me crazy. Just give good information. For example, I have an online marketing firm. What am I going to do? I'm going to share tips that are relevant to what I do. So I'll go onto sites like Mashable, and, you know, if I read a story I think is relevant, people might learn from it, I'll share it. That's good. Talking about my ebook once in a while, yeah, that's fine. I can do that. But saying free ebook, free ebook, free ebook every 5 seconds is not going to work. Another point is use the same avatar, meaning your picture, not a big blue creature with a ponytail. We want to look for, when I see you on every site, I want to know it's you instantly. For example, my picture, I hate my picture, by the way, but I have it the same across all the sites. Even though I hate it, it's the only picture that I have, and I use it because people can immediately see the tone of the coloring, like my face, and they just know it's me. So you don't want a picture of a bunny or an egg or whatever. Keep it into a real person and make it you and across all. Also, keep it classy. If you want to do Facebook or you want to do any of these sites, always keep it real. Don't be negative. Don't be ever hate on anybody else. That is such a bad idea. If you say anything negative publicly, it's going to come back and bite your reputation on the behind. So don't do it. That's all. I mean, it's pretty simple. Now, on the social media chef, let's go on to the 5 dinner party tips. All right, these are tried and tested as well. I throw probably, I would say, maybe 2 or 3 dinner parties a month. You can see that it's kind of like it's a hobby. it's like a part-time job. But these are things that I find out that are really great. Again, be careful. No, actually, this is a new one. Be careful about doing crazy things. I was going to do this one party, and it was, I don't know if it was French or, I can't remember right now. Oh, it was Indian. It was going to be an Indian themed. Well, the people that I were going to invite, there was no way that I think any of them would have eaten Indian food. So I thought, rethought it, I looked around, and, you know, I found out that maybe a Chinese-themed dinner party would be better. It fit perfectly, everyone was happy, da-da-da. So when you're theming a party, in terms of the food, not in the decor, like I'm not going to put, you know, Indian-themed things in the house versus Chinese things in the house. Just when you're coming up with a theme for your meal, just be careful and make sure that your audience is actually going to like it, your kids, the kids, the adults, everybody. Also, ask about food allergies and dislikes beforehand. Pay more attention to the food allergies. That would be my tip. Also, make sure, this is something I said before, make sure that the mood suits the event. So if it's going to be very personal one-on-one, make it feel like it. Don't make it feel like, you know, they're coming in the house and you're blasting dance music and there's like a strobe light in the kitchen, which would give me a fit. But also, another point, never be afraid to try something new. Okay? If you have a dish that you've been wanting to try forever, and you're like, oh, I don't know, I'm probably going to mess it up, make it. Try it out. You know, you can always take risks. You know, and I always say if you have one dish that you want to take a risk on, risk it. You have the whole rest of the meal. And if it doesn't turn out so well, you know, you tried. And my last point, obviously, is keep it classy. Never always be really positive, really great with your guests, and just really look after them and make them have the best time that they could possibly have. Now, it's coming to the end of the show, folks. So thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Our next show is going to be next Wednesday at 1 p.m. We're going to be talking about 2 killer time savers, one in the kitchen and one online. I think you don't want to miss that one because the recipe is killer, and it costs about like $10. It's ridiculous. And it makes everyone that tastes it thinks that you made it. It took hours to make, and you spent $60, which is always a winner. So tune into us next week. I'll send out updates on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter as well. And again, it's blogtalkradio.com/socialmediachef. And you can find out more about our upcoming shows. We have 2 more shows this month. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Crisco Media. Our website is, or blog rather, is servedfreshmedia.com. And you can check out Go Media International at gomediaonline.com. There's some free downloads there as well for you. Also, if anybody likes cabbage, which is so funny to say because I know 90% of people don't. I don't know why I like it. I find it really versatile. Just came up with new recipes the other day, and I put it up onto the servefreshmedia.com blog. It's for cabbage patch lasagna. It's killer. Look at the recipe section for that. And until next time, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week at 1 p.m. Eastern.